This is Valley Edition. I'm Kathleen Schock. Now we continue our election coverage by taking a look at some local congressional races, a couple of which are considered to be among the most competitive in the country. Joining me are Mark Kepler, Executive Director of the Kenneth L. Mattey Institute, Marek Wazowski, columnist with the Fresno Bee, and Rachel Lawler, a research associate with the Public Policy Institute of California. On Thursday, the Public Policy Institute of California released its results of the latest statewide survey, which included questions about congressional races. Rachel Lawler, you are part of the survey team. Tell us what you found about how Californians are leaning when it comes to Congress. And if you can, break down how Central Valley voters stand compared to other parts of the state.
Sure. Well, thanks so much for having me, Kathleen, and for your interest in PPIC's work. On our latest survey, which we fielded October 9th through 18th, we asked two questions about the upcoming congressional races. The first question that we asked was whether respondents would vote for the Republican candidate or the Democratic candidate in their district if the election for the House of Representatives was held today. And what we found was overall 58%, and this is of likely voters statewide, said that they would vote for the Democratic candidate, and 37% said that they would vote for the Republican candidate. And these preferences were similar in both May and September surveys. We asked that question in both of those months as well. So there hasn't been a lot of movement for the state overall. However, when we look at the regional breakdown, the Central Valley is the only major region where a Republican candidate is preferred over a Democrat. And that's a margin of 51% for the Republican candidate to 42% for the Democratic candidate. So just for some context, voters in the Inland Empire are split 48-48, but elsewhere in the state, majorities prefer the Democratic candidate.
Mark Kepler, any surprise there?
Not really. It's getting to be that the Valley is one of the few places left where Republicans frankly have a chance. This is going to be a tough election for the Republicans, even though that's the case, because it may be even tougher, frankly, than 2018. It's a presidential election, so it's going to be higher turnout, and we're getting hit by everything at once, right? We got COVID, we've got economy, we've got race relations, we've got economic inequality, fires, lots of things happening. So, and a very, very motivated electorate. I think there's going to be enthusiasm on both sides. But usually higher turnout means that usually favors Democrats.
So I'm glad you brought up voter turnout. We are seeing at this point far more early voting than we have in the past. Do you think that might translate to an increased voter turnout on top of the bump that we generally get in a presidential campaign season?
I think right now what you're seeing is the voters that usually vote are just choosing a different way to vote. They're voting by mail, or they're not voting in person, right? And so we have to see whether or not the voters that don't normally vote, whether they're going to come out, whether they're going to turn out. So right now, I think what you're seeing is people that generally do vote are just using a different method in voting.
So I would like to talk about some of the more competitive races in California. Of the 8 congressional races that the Cook Political Report considers to be competitive, 2 are in the Valley. The race between TJ Cox and David Valadao, along with Phil Arbayo's run to defeat Devin Nunes. So we're going to talk more about those 2 campaigns in just a moment. But first, Rachel Lawler, what did your survey find statewide for these competitive congressional races?
Sure. So as you mentioned, there are 8 districts in California, 2 of which are in the Central Valley region. And unfortunately, our sample sizes don't allow us to look at those districts individually. However, if we take the 8 districts as a whole and categorize them as competitive races, we can look at that as its own group. So I will go ahead and give some information on that, but I don't want it to be taken as, this is what's happening just in the Central Valley, because as I mentioned, it is 8 districts statewide. So when we look at those 8 districts, I can tell you that likely voters are very divided in those districts. 49% say that they would vote for the Republican candidate, and 47% say that they would vote for the Democratic candidate. And that is, well within this survey's margin of error. So it's really a toss-up right now which way those districts as a whole, as one group, are going to go.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about one of those local districts, the 21st. And this is a race, of course, between Democrat T.J. Cox and Republican David Valadao. So 4 years ago, voters in this district overwhelmingly voted for Hillary Clinton while also electing the Republican candidate David Valadao. Then 2 years later, Cox was able to quite narrowly defeat Valadao as part of, you know, what we now call the blue wave. So this year, this is considered one of the most contested congressional races in the country. Mark Wazowski, I'm going to direct this question to you. Do you think the tightness of this race is a function of the demographics of that district, or do you think it's just a result of these two particular candidates?
Oh, boy. I mean, I think both. I mean, honestly, I mean, it is a Democratic plus five district just by registration. But, you know, I think, you know, Valadao has, you know, the inside track, you know, based on his, you know, lifetime of experience there. So I think if both of those things are true. And also it's such a kind of a strange sprawled out district that includes a lot of the southern San Joaquin Valley. And then it kind of swoops in and grabs a certain part of Bakersfield, you know, carved out. And so it's hard to, I think, make, you know, huge generalizations about everybody in the district, you know, half of it being kind of in Fresno County and a little less than half, and then a little less than half in Bakersfield, with Kings County being the third largest, and then just a smattering of Solari. So, I mean, I think the answer to, you know, kind of your question is both. And, boy, I mean, it has definitely been the most competitive race and it has been the most visible. We haven't been able to turn on our televisions without being inundated with ads from both sides, and most of those funded by outside sources, you know, including the national parties, both national parties of Democrats and Republicans, pouring about $7.5 million into that race, which is, you know, dwarfing, you know, some of the other local races as far as outside funding. So, I think both of those things are true, Kathleen.
Mark Kepler, you were going to jump in.
Yeah, let me just jump in and just follow what Merrick is saying. $7.5 million, that buys a lot of media in the Central Valley. It may not buy you much on the coast. It buys you a lot here. And so, now Merrick's right. Every time you turn on the TV, you're seeing ads literally back-to-back, Valadao Cox. The thing that's interesting about this district is it's long been kind of it just defied political logic, because you're actually, the numbers, looking at the numbers, actually Democrats have a 16% advantage in registration over Republicans. The district is heavily Hispanic, 75% Hispanic. And for years and years and years, you know, Valadao was winning that seat. And Democrats are kind of scratching their head. Wait a second, how is this happening? Valadao was kind of, certainly back in 2016, he positioned himself as moderate. He said he wasn't going to vote for Trump. This time around, he's a little bit more moving toward Trump. He's saying, yes, he's going to vote for Trump. But he's trying to portray himself almost as an independent. His commercials even include positive comments about President Obama. So this is one of those districts that I think is, you know, very, very competitive. They only won, I think, Cox won by like 800 and some votes, 842 votes or something like that last time. Very competitive. In fact, Valadao went back to Washington thinking he had won that election. And I think he even got his picture taken with that class, only to find out, no, actually you lost. So it's a very, very tight district. And, you know, there have been some issues with T.J. Cox that haven't been helpful to him. And the Fresno Bee came out in an editorial and endorsed Valadao. So it's just a really interesting district.
It certainly is. And it's been interesting to see the Cox campaign really rely as a tactic on tying Valadao to President Trump, which isn't going to play as well in the 21st district as it would in the 22nd district, of course, with Devin Nunes and Phil Arbayo. You know, here we have a candidate, Nunes, who has been one of the president's biggest allies. Of course, we know, though, that the 22nd is a district that leans heavily to the right. Mark Wazowski, do you think that Nunes's ties to the president are going to hurt or help his reelection bid?
Well, I mean, I think they hurt him a little bit, because I don't sense that this is a popular president, even among some Republicans. But is that going to be enough, you know, to narrow the, you know, 5 or 6% margin that he won by last time? I'm not so certain. I mean, I think Andrew Jans was maybe a little bit more, ran maybe a little bit of a stronger, more visible campaign. It seemed like he had, you know, more attention behind him than Phil Arvaio is getting. But I also believe that Nunes's negatives might be up. So maybe both those things cancel each other out, and we see this kind of a similar result that we saw 2 years ago.
Yeah, so speaking of Mark Kepler, please continue.
It's you know, this is a different district. 22 with Nunes is different than the Cox District 21. Actually, in Cox District, 75% Hispanic. In Nunes' district, I think it's only 50% Hispanic. That's number one. Number two, in terms of favoring Trump, not surprisingly, Trump does not do well in Cox's district, does much better in Nunes' district. And I think finally the third point I would make is, you know, following on Merrick's point, I think that Andrew Jans probably ran a more competitive race because he raised about $9 million last time, and Nunes raised $12 million, so only about a $3 million difference. This time around, Nunes has raised $16 million compared to Arbaio's raised $4 million, so a big gap there. I think that Nunes basically, he doesn't want to be the next Eric Cantor. He doesn't want to lose, so he's running pretty hard for an incumbent.
2 years ago, Nunes did extraordinarily well among voters in rural areas and in his more socioeconomically affluent areas within his district. But he was also able to court enough quote-unquote urban voters to push himself over the edge. Mark, do you think he will have a similar path to victory in his race against Phil Arvaio?
I do. And even his so-called urban voters, I mean, we're talking about, you know, Clovis and North Fresno residents, right? So the word urban, I think, is, you know, it's not our normal application of the word. But yes, I do. I think that's the same. You know, this district is carved out for him to win, and he has consistently. And then the next time around, we're, you know, going to be going through redistricting, and who knows what it'll look like, because he didn't represent most of North Fresno 10 years ago like he does today. So yes, this district is carved out is drawn for him to win, and I think it's, you know, those factors that you identified are going to propel him just like they always have.
Well, I would just jump in and say that, you know, the Citizens Redistricting Committee that put this together, it was a nonpartisan committee. It just so happens, and Merrick's right, in terms of demographics, absolutely it favors Nunes. But I think the days of Nunes winning, you know, 30% plus in these races are over. I think, frankly, anybody the Democrats put up are going to make a more competitive race because he's frankly such a polarizing figure, both
I totally agree with that, Mark. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to the 16th Congressional District. This is the race between longtime incumbent Jim Costa and Republican Kevin Cookingham. Now, they were scheduled to debate this week, but that debate had to be postponed after Cookingham was exposed to COVID-19. So the Cookingham campaign has indicated that they are eager to reschedule that debate. Mark Kepler, how much could this postponement hurt Cookingham's chances to defeat this longtime incumbent, given that many voters have already turned in their ballots?
I think that, honestly, it's going to be extremely difficult for Cookingham to win this this district. It has more Democrats in it than Republicans. Costa has been elected office for 42 years. He's got a good-sized war chest. It's extremely difficult. And of course, the challenger always wants to do the debates, right? It's the incumbent says, I think I'll skip. So, yeah, I think it's going to be extremely uphill battle for Cookingham to win this one.
Mark Rosalski from the Fresno Bee, do you agree?
Yeah, I totally. I mean, over the years, we've seen occasionally that Congressman Costa will get a stiff challenge from a Republican. But I doesn't seem like it's going to be the case this year. I mean, even 2 years ago, you know, his opponent, Elizabeth Heng, you know, had backing from the National Republican Party that Kevin Cookingham, you know, hasn't seemed to garner it. This has been a very quiet race in my regard. In fact, one of the quieter ones for Costa in quite a while.
I can just follow up for a second. You know, Costa really seems to fit the district. He's a conservative Democrat. You know, there's a big difference between a Valley Democrat and a San Francisco Democrat. And he has consistently been kind of that blue dog, moderate Democrat, almost conservative Democrat. So I think that he fits this district.
Indeed. Well, let's move on, or actually, let's move back to the PPIC statewide survey, which also asked voters about a couple of key propositions that are on the ballot, including Proposition 15, which we discussed earlier in the show. Once again, this would allow many commercial properties to be taxed based on current market value instead of the purchase price. Rachel Lawler, what did your survey find around Prop 15?
So again, results here are among likely voters. And we found that likely voters on this proposition are, again, very divided. 49% saying they would vote yes, 45% no, and 6% are undecided. And when we last asked this question, which was in our survey in September, there was a wider gap between the yes and no votes. So in September, 51% were yes, 40% no, and 9% were undecided. It's worth mentioning, you know, when we look at the regional breakdown, it looks quite similar in terms of the regions that group together. It's very similar to what we saw with the congressional vote. So half or more support Prop 15 in LA, in Orange, San Diego, and in the San Francisco Bay Area. And again, we see Inland Empire residents are split 48 to 48. And once again, the Central Valley is the only region where a majority are opposed to Proposition 15.
I'll say that, you know, PPIC is the gold standard. They do a great survey, so something that absolutely you want to pay attention to. I just want to make one quick point. I don't know if Rachel wants to comment on this, but I found it interesting that the Central Valley numbers almost were identical to the independents, no party preference numbers. 55% of independents say no on that, 54% in the Valley. 42% of independents say yes on it, 42% in the Valley. I just wondered if you found that interesting at all.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cross tabs here, and you're right, they are nearly identical. That is interesting, especially because we know independents in the state tend to think of themselves as closer to the Democratic Party. So on this particular proposition, we probably expect, you know, independents to maybe be a little bit, maybe not quite aligned, but a little bit more towards, you know, the Democratic viewpoint. That's a very good point and a very interesting finding from the survey.
You know, it may be that independents in the Valley are also different than independents on the coast. You know, independents in the Valley might track Republican. I don't know, but they may track Republican, where independents on the coast, where the population centers track Democratic.
That's a very good point. I don't have that information to hand to look at, you know, whether the independents are different in the Central Valley versus other regions, but I definitely think that that is a good possibility that that's the case.
Well, I would like to also hear about Proposition 16, which, of course, would bring back affirmative action in California. Rachel, based upon the survey results, how are likely voters reacting to this idea?
Sure. So currently, 37% of likely voters statewide would vote yes, 50% no, and 12% are undecided. Again, if we look at that compared to our survey last month, support was lower in September and there were more undecided, which makes sense since we were further out from the election. So last month, 31% said they would vote yes, 47% no, and 22% were unsure. So that gave us a gap in September of 16 points between yes and no. And if we look a little bit deeper into Prop 16, about 6 in 10 Democrats are voting yes, while solid majorities of Republican and independents are voting no on this. And when it comes down to a regional breakdown, 33% in the Central Valley are voting yes and 59% no. However, this time, the Central Valley is also joined by majorities in the Inland Empire and Orange San Diego, who are voting no, while LA likely voters and San Francisco Bay Area likely voters are a bit more divided.
You know, what I found really interesting about that is how the independents statewide are a lot closer to the Republicans on this issue than they are to the Democrats. Because as Rachel was mentioning, independents generally statewide trend a little bit toward the Democratic side. I thought that was a pretty interesting finding.
That's absolutely true. Independents overall are 63% no, and Republicans are 77% no, while Democrats are 27% no. So absolutely, the independents are a lot closer, more closely aligned to Republicans on this measure.
We've been talking with Mark Kepler, Executive Director of the Batty Institute, Mark Rosalsky, columnist with the Fresno Bee, and Rachel Lawler, Research Associate with the Public Policy Institute of California. Thank you all for your wisdom. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.